From their studio in the Feeding Arizona building in Youngtown, Arizona, it's the Boomer and the Babe Show with Pete Peters and Deborah Brown. Join Pete and Deborah and their guests as they give voice to 78 million baby boomers from coast to coast and border to border. Now here are the Boomer and the Babe, Pete Peters and Deborah Brown.
Yes, indeed. Good morning and good afternoon, depending on where you are. It's morning on the West Coast and afternoon on the East. And if you're in the middle, it probably is noon somewhere. It's sort of like that drinking song, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. So we just hope that you're having a great day wherever you might happen to be, and I hope the weather's treating you well and everything else is going good for you. So anyhow, this is the Boomer the Babe Show, and I'm Pete Peters. Deborah is with clients out of the office today, so she's not going to be with us. We invite everybody to go to boomerthebabe.com and see everything that we're involved in, which is much more than just this radio show. And please sign up for our Boomer Experience Speaks online magazine. It comes free to your inbox approximately every 4 to 6 weeks, and we hope you'll enjoy that. A lot of the contributors to that have been guests on the show, and they also have possibly have their own show on the Boomer and the Babe Network. All that having been said, I want to make a couple of other announcements. The Arizona Boomer radio program that's at 9 o'clock has been kind of sporadic kicking off. We're trying to get a few bugs ironed out on that, but we're going to have that up and running next week with regularity, 9 o'clock in the morning on the West Coast. For those of you that might be interested in hearing about what's going on with the people and the things in Arizona other than what you hear in the news, because we're not going to concentrate too much on that stuff. And then also the Boomer the Babe Show will continue at 11 o'clock as it is today, and that's more of our national focus with guests that have a wider range other than just content and information for and about one location they can use. You can use generally what they say wherever you are, anywhere in the country or around the world for that matter. On with today's show. I have a guest who is involved in trying to make sure that there's a good communication between grandparents and grandchildren. She is the founder of something called Double Scoop. It's a free app that helps boomer grandparents connect with their grandchildren, and her name is Tina Marquis. And Tina, thank you very much for joining me here on the Boomer the Babe Show.
Thank you very much for having us. We're really excited to be able to participate on your show today. Just a little bit of information about myself. I am working for this wonderful product called Double Scoop. And one of the reasons I started working for it and helped develop and found the app is I made a terrible choice a few years ago. My husband and I moved to Colorado, and that part is terrific, but we left our grandparents behind, our children's grandparents behind in New York and in California. So we're raising our children, and we're always looking for ways to get our kids more connected with their grandparents. My husband and I both had wonderful relationships with our grandparents, and Double Scoop, it turns out, is a great way to accomplish this, and I'm really proud of the work we've done in creating a way to keep kids and grandparents closer and building a very strong relationship and getting all the benefits of that relationship onto our kids.
Well, that sounds really interesting. But what was it? It was the move to Colorado, what it was, or the sole prompt in your developing this this new business?
Well, it was a couple of things. One is that I'm really interested in how technology is being used in terms of family relationships and connecting families. And then we did have this this hurdle in continuing a relationship with our kids and their grandparents even when we're not visiting them. And we do visit them a lot. We use, you know, the phone, we use Skype. But we found it was very difficult to get everyone coordinated at the same time. Our kids are pretty busy. Their grandparents are actually very busy. And we found that it was hard to coordinate a phone call, and our kids kept walking away from the Skype monitor or, you know, go play with a doll or something. Mm-hmm. So Double Scoop was a way that's very engaging for the kids. And for myself personally, it was an amazing learning opportunity to really understand how do apps work, where can you use them, you know, how do you design them so that it works for two different groups of people? And in our case, we were trying to look at designing an app that appealed to both grandparent population and kids. And we're looking at young kids, ages 3 to 9 years old is what the demographic we focused on.
So was there anything in your background prior to doing Double Scoop that prompted you to head in that direction? What did you do prior to Double Scoop?
Sure. I've been working in the marketing area and in product development for most of my life. I worked in very traditional marketing roles at American Express and General Electric. And I also had a really interesting job that was more focused on, you know, what brings people together. And that was selling actually soap operas internationally and just talking about how people connect to each other, how they relate with each other. And more recently, I worked at some startups here in Boulder, Colorado, one which was connecting people professionally, sort of like a LinkedIn. And that was another way that I was starting to look into how the internet world and online services were bringing people together.
Did I hear you correctly? You said you were selling soap operas?
You know, it's even better than that. I was selling soap operas from Mexico to television stations in Africa. And I think what I loved about that job was it talked about how people all over the world share the same feelings and have the same passions.
And a longing glance and a lingering embrace and a wet kiss is the same in Mexico as it's the same all over the world, right?
Apparently it is, because they did really well.
Oh, wow. I just had this vision, and it came out of my mouth. I'm sorry. So you decided that you were gonna try to develop or get involved somehow in the developing of the app. I understand that, as we were talking prior to coming online, that you're not the geek squad here. You're not the one that builds the apps, but I'm going to assume, correct me if I'm wrong, that you had something to say about what you wanted the app to do. So therefore, you were somehow involved in the design and so on and so forth. Maybe from a functional standpoint, as far as what you knew you wanted to do, and then you had to say to somebody else, okay, here, this is what I want. Can you make this happen?
That's about right, yeah.
Now, you being a marketing guru, and if you can sell soap operas to foreign countries from foreign countries, you could sell anything. How and why did you come up? I think I love the name Double Scoop. How did you come up with Double Scoop?
Yeah, the name, we do love the name, and thank you for bringing that up. We, one of the other founders, Steve, really talked about how when he was growing up, and he grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, his grandparents would take him out for ice cream, and it was always special, and grandparents tend to be a little indulgent. His certainly were. So when they went out, it was always a double scoop of ice cream. So we thought the name was great because it just talked about the indulgence, the sweetness, the fun of that relationship and how unique and special it is.
I think it's excellent. I mean, it's from a marketing advertising standpoint, it in and of itself says it is a message. And it seems to be just that message that you were describing. I think you're all to be commended for that, because that seizing on that was, I think, a very good idea. I mean, just a great
Thank
idea.
Thank you.
And what kind of response have you had to the name?
We've had very positive response. And I should add, that naming process took a long time. Mm-hmm. We knew the name was important because when you're on the web or you're in an app store, the name does speak volumes. And we had some really long, long meetings talking about that name. But we are happy because when we did release the product in its beta test, it got such good response. And a lot of moms, because we're looking at both moms and grandparents, immediately said, oh, this must be something really fun for kids, and it's really special. And they got that the double scoop meant that it's that extra thing a grandparent will probably do for a grandchild.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like if my granddaughters want to stop and have a donut and some juice on the way over when we picked them up to bring them home, they can have the box of donut holes to share rather than just having a donut. it's the same type of thing. You know, I agree 100%. Yeah. I mean, our job as grandparents is to spoil them, make them have a little queasy stomach because they ate too much sweets, and send them home. it's in the grandparenting contract. And I signed it boldly too, I might add. So you've developed this app. It's called Double Scoop, and its purpose is to help parents and grandparents. I mean, I've got children, grandchildren, and grandparents connect. Now, we've got to make some assumptions that they both have computers or cell phones or whatever the device is that's going to house this app. Has that been a difficult situation with the grandparents, which may well be boomer generation people like myself? Because I know it's not a problem with the kids. The kids don't have any problem with this stuff.
Right. No, we haven't seen too much of an issue. And one of the reasons is that our app works on desktop or laptop computers.
Oh.
So some apps only work on an iPhone, an iPad, or an Android. But our app does work on a home computer. And we found through our research that most boomers do have a computer at this point. It's more the norm. And actually, a lot of boomers are really getting iPhones as well and starting to text. So that hasn't been a big hurdle for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I have an iPhone. Deborah has an iPhone. We both had, I don't know what it was, the other one before that. It wasn't an iPhone. It was whatever that other phone that was a pain in the neck that you never hear of anymore. It was the one that President Obama used all the time, and he didn't want to give it up. And I think all the news people are still using it because it's got so much capability as far as capacity with texting and whatever else. But whatever.
Okay.
But anyway, we both have our iPhones. Deborah uses hers much more ardently than I use mine. Mine is for phone calls, and I receive texts, but I don't text back. I'll call back. That kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's certain things that I will do, and it's not that I can't. I just haven't taken the time to fully engage with it yet. I'm just a little old-fashioned. I just sort of call sometimes. But now you've got this app. The kids and their grandparents are using this app. What does it allow them to do? I mean, is it just a means of communication type thing? A parent or an elderly person is going to communicate on a different level than a young child. What is the commonality as far as the connection there as far as how they communicate?
Yeah. So what our app allows kids and grandparents to do is to communicate in a few different ways. And this is really helpful, especially when you have young grandchildren. And we're talking as young as 3, 4, 5, 6. And what they can do is they can record a voice message. So, for instance, when we were testing the product, I tested it on my own kids, and their ages now are 5 and 8. And my 5-year-old would get on, and she would sing a song. And one of the best ones she ever sang was Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star in her little 5-year-old voice. And it was just so cute. And then my mom will open up the app, and she'll hit the play button. And she can play that as long as she wants. And it just stays there in the app so that she can go back to it. If she has my mom actually uses an iPad, she'll take that maybe to a book club or something like that, and she can let her friends hear my daughter singing. They can also take pictures right in the app. And then, so let's say that we're doing something special. We're at a dance recital and the grandparents weren't able to attend. We can take a picture right there. And then my mom will go to the app on her iPad or on her computer, and the picture's right there. You don't need to press a button. And you can scroll through all the pictures that child has sent her over time. And the other thing you can do is write stories. My older child does like to write. and they will exchange stories or exchange news of the day. And again, because this doesn't happen at the same time, they can just do it whenever they want. So often I'll be making breakfast, for instance, and I'll hand him an iPad and say, could you just send a quick note to Grandma so that, you know, you guys keep in touch, you guys keep sharing the news that you have to share. You know, that's important in our family. We want our kids to be doing that. And the last thing, you know, they can do is draw pictures. And this is a really interesting one because, of course, our kids love it. They just sit there, they'll draw pictures, they just use their finger on an iPad or a mouse on a computer. But what I think is hysterical is their grandmother will send back a picture, and she'll often, she's been using the drawing app just as much. So she just sent a drawing the other day of her playing golf, which was a riot, and our kids loved it. So that's the way it works. And by doing the recorded voice message and the drawing, kids of any age can really get engaged with it and share everyday moments of their lives with their grandparents.
Have you developed a video capacity for your app yet?
Oh, yes. I should probably give you a prize for being the, you know, 100th person for asking me that this week. We are working on that, and that will be one of the next features coming out. So we're really hoping for it before the winter holidays for that.
Wonderful. Will that be a new app, or will that be an addition to the existing app?
No, that would be a feature within the existing app.
Wonderful.
And one of the reasons for that is the way our app is it's a relationship between one grandchild and one grandparent, and everything that those two people share is in one place. So you don't have to look for anything. You don't have to look at your photos or look through your emails or look through, you know, whatever, your song list. It's in one place, and you can just scroll through it. And we're at a point now where we've been testing this for probably 8 months, and I have that whole history. It's like a living history of the relationship between each of my daughters and each of their grandparents. It's really quite unique.
So now we have a situation where you've got two daughters, and I'm assuming you've got two full sets of grandparents, and opposite ends of the country.
And
you're bridging the gap by the use of the app. There's a key slogan for you: bridging the gap by the use of the app. Okay, Ms. Marketing Maven, figure that. See if you can use that one. I'm not going to charge you for it either.
I wrote it down.
Does the grandparent have a separate app for each grandchild?
No, they don't. So, in fact, you only need one app per household or per device. So on my iPhone, what it looks like is I'll hand them the iPhone, and they click on the ice cream cone, and it pops up each of their faces. So my daughters will pick the picture of themselves, and then it will say, choose who you want to talk to. And it will have all four grandparents there. And they'll just pick the grandparent that they want to send a message to. Same thing for the grandparents. It just might be they'll pick their face. And in our case, we have two households, and they're both living together. So it'll be, you know, my mom or dad will pick their face, and then they'll pick which grandchild they want to speak to. So they don't have to have separate apps, separate devices. It's all in one place. You can just switch. You can switch users. And actually, in our case, you know, my kids also have an uncle and an aunt on there as well. They've extended it out to some other family members too.
That is really cool. Can one of your daughters, for instance, let's say she's having a dance recital and she's really excited about it and she wants all the relatives to know, can she go to the iPhone and say, Grandma, Grandpa A, Grandma, Grandpa B, Uncle and Auntie so-and-so, Uncle and Auntie so-and-so, and get all of it at once?
Not yet, but that will be, you probably just picked the second most popular, feature that's coming. So you're doing a great job.
That's why I can pay the big bucks.
I can tell. You might want to come work for us someday. I'm just throwing it out there. But yes, that will be something that we do pretty quickly because if you can imagine, you know, we're a pretty new company. But right now, I will send a picture to each of the people on her list. Now, our groups tend to be small because this is about people you care about, people that you're going to have strong relationships with. It's certainly not a mass kind of emailing thing. But right now, I do have to individually send those. It's actually really easy, but I think we can make it better.
So it's not like making an announcement to your entire friends list of 5,000 people on Facebook?
No, we're pretty much not that.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Facebook for a minute and how it is in how it's juxtaposed to what you're doing. Facebook, as we just indicated, you can get to any number of people in large numbers. And on yours, you're a smaller number. But on Facebook, I firmly believe that you have security issues on Facebook. I'm going to suggest or assume that you don't have security issues, and that's probably possibly one of the reasons you had this app designed in the first place.
That's right. That's one of the big issues. One of our big concerns was that, or one of our challenges, we didn't want there to be any way for a child to be found. So in Facebook, you can, you know, sort of sniff through a directory, and people could actually find you. And we don't feel that kids in our age, you know, in our target, which is really 3 to 9 years old, that they have the savvy, and nor do they need to have the savvy yet, to navigate who do I accept as a friend, who don't I accept, how do I interact with them. So in our app, you need to know the parent's email address to connect with them, and then the parent will decide whether or not their child could be connected to you. And that's a big part of our app, is it really is 100% safe, it's 100% private, and it's very specifically people who a child of that age should be interacting with. And there's also a cyberbullying element. You know, young kids, I don't think, need to learn about cyberbullying at such a young age. They certainly do need to get used to it later on, be educated, and be trained to deal with it. But we think in this age group, it's just not the right time.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You don't need to have that put in their face at a very impressionable age like that. So now, is there advertising on these apps? I mean, how if I wanted to advertise my Boomer the Babe show, can I advertise the Boomer the Babe show on the apps?
No, we don't have advertising now, and part of that is because we don't want kids to see advertising, and that's another that links into that privacy safety issue. Again, these are very, very young kids, so we're not offering advertising to them at all. It could be over time that we'll look at partnership opportunities, and we could perhaps offer benefits to just the people who've identified themselves as adults, parents or grandparents. We will never advertise to kids, though, and we feel pretty strongly about that. They don't need to be served up that advertising. We want parents to choose what is appropriate for kids to see at that very young age. That's not our decision.
Well, because I had this vision of Toys R Us trying to get all over this thing, and you know, have these kids looking at all the various the latest, and I'm sure we're going to have all that latest stuff on TV now coming up with the holidays already. It's hard to believe, but and I think they're always going to be looking for different outlets, and this sounds like an interesting outlet for a children's toy thing, and also it'd be an interesting outlet for the grandparents to see what's out there as far as the toy thing for their grandchild.
Absolutely. And, you know, it could be that we look at a partnership where Toys R Us might help a grandparent choose just the perfect gift for that grandchild to help that shopping experience be a little bit better. But, again, we wouldn't go into the kids' area of that. We would keep the children pretty much separate from that. And if we did, you know, embark on such a partnership, it would just be through the grandparents and the parents.
Very good. Very good. Well, Tina, I want to take a couple of minutes here. I've got some spots that I've got to play because I have to do some of these things myself. And and it's about 2 minutes. We'll come right back and continue with our conversation.
Thank you.
Boomer the Babe are the publishers of Boomer Series books. Our authors have their own shows on the Boomer the Babe Network. We encourage you to listen. Ron Naraki, author of the forthcoming book, The 10 Commandments of Investing, is the host of Wealth DNA, a financial show about real estate investment. Learn how to build and manage your portfolio. Ron hosts the show, and he always has good information to pass along, as do his guests. Listen to Wealth DNA on the second and fourth Monday of the month at 8 a.m. Arizona time. Tom Liggering's another Boomer Series author. His book, Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours, is the basis of the show he does with his broadcast partner, Dr. Terry Munther. Listen to Success or Failure with Tom and Terry on the fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 a.m. Arizona time. Learn how you can maximize your performance in business and in life. The methods you employ can either help or hinder. The choice is yours. The Boomer and the Babe are proud to be affiliated with Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free. Valley View is now serving Phoenix from their new 36,000 square foot location at West Peoria and 107th Avenue in Sun City, Arizona. The new location houses the food bank, Feeding Arizona, and the Valley View Thrift Store. Feeding Arizona delivers food to other food banks and food pantries that are in need. If you're looking for a 501c3 to support, go to valleyviewcommunityfoodbank.com. All donations are welcome, be it food, money, or volunteer hours. No donation is too small. Get a hold of Jesse Ramirez, founder and director, and say, "I want to help." Valley View Community Food Bank, where the food is always free.
And we're back on the Boomer the Babe Show. It is Tuesday, September 11th, a day, as they have said in the past, that will live in infamy. It's interesting to see all of the memorial services and so on the television this morning. It just never seems to go away, and it's a good thing that it doesn't go away, because it'll remind us of a lot of stuff, and just sort of like Pearl Harbor and some of the other major events in the world. Enough of my political talk. We're talking with Tina Marquis, and Tina, is that the proper pronunciation of your name?
Marquis is better, but Marquis. Most people say
okay.
Marquis.
Okay, well then I'll try to remember Marquis. Now, you say that there's no advertising. Being a marketing advertising guy, being a media guy, my next question then becomes, how do you pay for this thing?
Okay, so that's a great question. And it's a good opportunity for me to say that this is, we're trying it out right now as a subscription-based service. So there's a free trial. It's a 14-day trial. And the subscription, and this is something we just launched very recently, about 2 weeks ago, because we're really interested in not having advertising within the app, if possible, so that we can really keep our commitment to privacy and safety and making sure that all the information is appropriate for kids that's in the app. So we're going to try this out. It's $29.99 a year for a household, for as many people as you want in a household. And then in a week or two, we'll be offering some really compelling discounts if more than one household signs up at the same time. So that would be, let's say you, for like in our case, we have our household and we have the households of each of our sets of grandparents. There's going to be a significant discount for all three households. So we're going
Wow.
to try that pricing, yeah.
So we could have a situation, I'm thinking of myself now, we would have, Deborah and I have in this household, we've got two devices. We both have an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Then it would be my daughter and her husband. They both have an iPhone. I don't know if Don has an iPhone. She has an iPhone, certainly. And then her mother and her husband, his parents. So we'd be looking, as it exists right now, $30, $60, $120 for the four of them. Are you saying there's going to be a more significant discount in the very near future?
Much, yeah, very significant, because we realize that we're looking at both as a household, and every household includes as many devices as you want. It's just one account. So, for instance, a husband and a wife or two partners, whatever, that's just one account. You wouldn't pay separately for each of those devices, if that makes sense. And then what we're really looking to do is just to get groups to sign up together. So the more you sign up, the lower the price drops. And you'll see a big benefit if you sign up, with both sets of your grandparents at the same time.
Sure.
So that's what we're currently looking at. Because you ask a great question. How do you make money on some of these apps, on these devices? And we've really struggled with, do we go with an advertising model or do we look at a subscription-based model? And we've seen some evidence in the marketplace that there's a growing appetite for subscription, that people maybe don't want to see as many advertisements, especially on apps. So we're going to try this. And, you know, as with any new company, if we find that we need to find a new model, we'll go and test out another model.
Sure. So now when you said there is a 14-day free trial coming in for somebody,
mm-hmm.
And that's available, and how does somebody avail themselves of that 14-day free trial?
It's very easy. You can go to our website at www.doublescoop.net, and that's .net, not .com, and you can get more information there and understand, you know, what the trial looks like, but it's pretty easy. You'll then be asked to download the app onto a computer or onto an iPhone or an iPad, and you can choose. Then you'll set up an account. It takes less than a minute to set up an account. Then you'll want to invite someone to be a contact with you, and, you know, in your case, it might be a grandchild. And that would be, you know, you need to get connected with someone to see how the messaging works. And then that's pretty much all you have to do. Once you have an account set up, you can download the app onto any device and use the same account information so that you get the messages from your grandkids wherever you are and whichever device you choose to use. You definitely don't want to try setting up new accounts for each device you use.
So I can go ahead and let's say set up the app on my laptop or my PC, whatever, and I can then of course use the app in conjunction with my daughter's iPhone on the other end, and the thing is just going to go off without a hitch.
Yeah, it'll work just great. And your daughter may choose to have her own account so that she can manage who her kids can connect with, and then you might have your own account. But what's interesting is you can both use actually the same iPhone. You could just log in and log out. So,
oh.
You know, however that would work.
That sounds very interesting, very interesting. Now, it obviously has to be something that a child can manipulate and handle. What have you designed so that it makes it easy for young children?
Yeah, we definitely looked a lot into this, and one of the things that was helpful is when we were developing it, my youngest daughter had just turned 4, so that was great, and she has a bunch of little friends that also tested it out for us. So a couple of things that we did to make sure it worked well is it's very important to use photos for this app so she can recognize herself because she can't read yet. We're working on that. So she knows just to click on her photo, and then each of her grandparents uploaded a photo with their name, so she knows exactly how she can pick out who she's going to talk to or communicate with. So she gets on there, and of course, for her, the ice cream cone is really recognizable. So I thought maybe I would have to launch the app for her, but she can just take my iPhone, she finds the ice cream cone, she presses on it, then she presses on her picture, and then she presses on the picture of whoever she wants to talk to or communicate with or draw a picture for. And when she gets there, there are 4 pictures of the things you can do. And for her, it's very easy to tell whether she's going to draw a picture, record a message, or type. You know, she doesn't type yet because she doesn't know how to write. And she's even learned how to take her own pictures. So she'll sometimes just take pictures of her sister and send them along, draw a picture, whatever it is. And similarly, she doesn't have to do anything to read or look at or listen to what people have sent her. So she could just go through and see her new messages, and she's always really excited to see what people have sent her.
That's fantastic. I think this is really, really cool. I know, for instance, in our family, because we have iPhones all around, we do a lot of FaceTime.
Okay.
So... And this, we don't do the Skype, but we do the FaceTime. And exactly what you said earlier in our conversation takes place, and that is that you know, the kids are there, and I'm saying to one of them, "What'd you do in school today?" And she rattles on what she did, and she says, "Bag wrap," and she's gone. And, you know, and her mother will inevitably say, "Come back here, your grandfather wasn't talking to you yet." So I guess what I was saying was not that compelling. But either that or it was more likely beneath her.
There's that too. It's happened so fast.
It does. Yes, it does. But I mean, there are some distinct drawbacks. As much as I love FaceTime, I mean, I just think it's the coolest thing since bread. But nonetheless, I can see that there, and I do know from practical use that there are some distinct disadvantages. Because sometimes people are maybe in a particular room of the house where they don't want to do FaceTime with you. You know, they could be taking care of some other kind of business, and it's not appropriate necessarily for me to be in that room with them. So it has its limitations. But I like the idea that this is it's on-demand communication.
It is. That's a great way of putting it. You got another good one today that I'll write down.
Make sure that I have your address, would you please, so I can send you a bill. I liken what you're doing to some of the stuff that we're doing, because we're involved in the internet and so on and so forth. I mean, this radio show thing, doing a radio show on the internet and podcasts and private podcasts and webinars and so on and so forth. I mean, that's in essence some of the technology and some of the theory of what that really is that you're kind of using in there, but you just scale it down so that a young child can understand it and enjoy it. It is still all that communications thing.
It is. It is very similar, and that's a great analogy. And I think that, you know, kids are starting to think that way, and it's good to come up with ways that mimic that that might have otherwise become an impediment, for instance, between this relationship between a kid and a grandparent. So this is really just another tool in your toolbox of how am I going to make that relationship happen, because we know it's important. We know there's so much value in, you know, intergenerational communication, and we know that it can be hard sometimes. So I think, it's definitely not, you're definitely going to use a couple of things. It's not going to just be FaceTime, just DoubleScoop, just Skype. Whatever it is, I think you're going to have to use a lot of different things. And also, certain kids are different. So if you've got a real, you know, different kids talk and communicate in different ways, and some have a lot of patience to sit in front of FaceTime, but some of them are just on the go, and maybe you have a budding photographer who just wants to send you pictures of their life every day, you know, DoubleScoop's a great way to do that.
Sure. The refrigerator is covered with pictures that the kids draw when they're here, and I could very easily see that there, if we had this, they would be drawing pictures for Grandma, pictures for Grandpa, pictures for Great Grandma Vivian, pictures for the dog, pictures of the dog. You know, that's the way these two girls are. And not to mention the fact that there would be ballet recitals and dance recital photos and so on, tumbling class, you know, photos that don't always make it to the Facebook page,
right?
And I like the privacy aspect of it also. I really do like the privacy aspect of it. So I'm going to have to make sure that my daughter is aware of this. So and then maybe you'll see some. You see our name pop up all of a sudden here. We may have to give this a shot.
That sounds great.
Because it's also now, you say it works on iPad, right?
Yep.
I mean, there's just no downside to it. I mean, I don't know what their other grandmother has as far as a phone. I don't know if she has a smartphone. But, I mean, it could always be the case that if the parents go somewhere, they could leave the iPad with the other grandmother and grandfather, and they could do it that way, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, always possibilities. Always possibilities. Well, what else do you think we need to cover? What have we missed in the grand scheme of information that you want to make sure that people know about what you're doing?
Well, I'll share one little story. It's just a little thing about the app that we thought was really neat. And one of our goals when we were talking about it, we were thinking about, okay, so what do we need to do to help this relationship between kids and grandparents? And one of the people on the team said, one thing I found is that it's like every time you visit grandkids, you start with the same conversation. How's school?
Yep.
You know, what do you like about school?
Absolutely.
And so we did we were testing it out, and we got my daughter, who is the older one who can type, and she and her grandfather were going back and forth, and they were talking about things, and they were getting a lot more specific. And maybe, I think she was talking about India because she was studying India. And then she was talking about how she was in a theater production, what her role was. And then we visited them, and they were sitting down at breakfast. And instead of saying, how was school, he said, so how did it go with the role you had in that play? And they were off and running. And it was really like there wasn't a need for that catch-up, that awkward catch-up period where you're relearning each other, you're figuring out, you know, who you are again. They just kept that conversation going between the visits, and that was just something that we thought was really unique about Double Scoop and how it really showed us that it was bringing something richer to the relationship that might be there through the other tools that people might be using today.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that's really cool. Ben, now when did you first start working on developing of this app? How long a process? excuse me. How long a process has this been?
It's been really long. We started we're in September. So I started working on it about a year and a half ago, and we started with an entirely different concept. And it's just so fascinating how products are developed and how you start down one path and all of a sudden you have this moment where you're thinking, this is never going to work. And we had actually started with a very broad goal of engaging seniors in online conversations in general. And we were running down this path, and sometime that summer after I started, I think I started in April, and summer of last year, we found out that this was just too broad. It didn't make sense. We didn't know how to address the problems effectively. And we made a major pivot and focused in on just the relationship between kids and grandparents. And it was something everyone on our team could identify with, something that everyone thought was important. We all thought that it could be stronger, it could be better, that it was a worthwhile endeavor. So from that point on, it took us about 4 to 5 months to come up with what we called was a minimum viable product. It was just a skeleton of what Double Scoop is today. And we took that piece and started testing it with all of our families. And my kids were pretty prominent in that testing process with their two sets of grandparents. We were very happy with the outcomes. We were able then to take that out to local moms and local grandparents, have them test it out, have them give us feedback about what was working, what wasn't working, you know, how was that account user sign up. And we started a beta test then in May of this year, and we went out with our first account sign-up process, and we found a lot of hiccups in that when it first came out and made a lot of those changes in July and August of this year. And so now we're pretty excited. We had to tackle that very important question you asked about how do you make money. It's an excellent question. So we tackled that, and next we're going to be looking really at what are the features we can bring to Double Scoop to add more value. And some of those are video messaging and what we're calling more of a group sharing capability, where, in fact, you know, at the dance recital, our daughter can just send one picture to six people. We're all really dying to see these pictures, so we know that's important.
Sure, sure. It sounds like it was not all that different from, 37. Oh my gosh, it was 30 years ago already. That I was working for a lottery, a state lottery, and we were pulling this lottery up out of the ground, and there were certain, a lot of it was generated by computer, and we were just doing scratch tickets. We weren't doing the numbers and all the rest of that stuff. And we, there was a committee of supervisors and managers, and we sat down and we had to determine what was the information that we needed to track these tickets. What was the information that we needed to make sure that the winners were reported correctly and accurately? And we had to, I mean, it was like designing a matrix. And it's going from point A to point B, and you can't go in a straight line because there's an offshoot. You got to go over here and make sure that this is right. Then you got to go back over there and make sure that that's right. And it is a long and involved process to be engaged in. And I'm certain that it sounds like that was something that that you were involved in also.
Absolutely. It's just a lot of details, a lot of reiterations, a lot of hard conversations. Mm-hmm. About, you know, what's going to be best and, you know, some critical decision points where you're trying to understand, you know, what are we going to give up if we do this or what do we gain? Very similar.
Yeah, and then you start throwing into the mix that, well, if we do it this way, is it going to be something that is going to affect the final outcome? Because it's just like anything else. I mean, a good businessman at the top of the totem pole, the head guy, needs to understand that whatever his decision is going to affect the lowliest person in the organization, even if it's somebody that's sweeping the floors. And you need to find out from the guy sweeping the floors if this decision is going to make his job easier or harder. You can't just assume that it's going to make it easier.
Right.
And as you're designing an app, you've got to make sure that what you're designing is going to not affect the ease of operation of whoever it is, child or grandparent, at the bottom end of it when they're actually down there and they are the users. And that's a tough thing to make sure that, and keep it all on track. I commend you for doing it.
Thank you.
It's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Well, I promised you that as we come down to the end of the program here that you're going to get an opportunity to give your shameless self-promotion. And this is your time. So tell us anything you want to tell our listeners about how they can get a hold of you, how they can sign up for the app, what about your website, so on and so forth. What do you have coming? How quickly can they get on with the app? I mean, once they've signed up for it, how long does it take for them to activate? Anything you want to do, promote away, Ms. Marketing Person.
Okay. Well, first of all, probably the most important thing, this was a wonderful opportunity, and thank you so much for having us on your show. This is really fun. Please come try us out. We're at www.doublescoop.net. It is so easy to sign up. But not everyone is real familiar with apps. So if you have a question, we have a lot of ways to contact us. We have a wonderful team of people that help you right here from Colorado. They're all nice. I work with them, and they're all in the room next door. So don't hesitate to call us. Our number is on our website, and you can also send us an email at help@doublescoop.net if you have any questions when you're going through the process. I think it's so important to make connecting kids and grandparents a priority. I think when I think about my life and all the time I committed to being with my grandmother, there was a time she was living in New Orleans and I just had a child here in Colorado. And for 4 years, because I was the only grandchild who got married and had children, I would fly to New Orleans every 3 months so that she could spend time with her only great-grandchild. And I can tell you it was a lot of money, it was a lot of time, and I never regretted a minute because what I got out of it in terms of her perspective on raising children and what my child got out of it, understanding this intergenerational world that we live in and her wisdom, her amazing love toward my child was so wonderful. And if you're thinking about, should I do this, should I add more touch points between my grandkids and myself, I say absolutely, because your kids will benefit so greatly. I think Double Scoop is a wonderful way to do that, and I hope, is that shameless enough?
You want to get more shameless? Go right to
No. I can't. That's it. That's as low as I can go. But really, it really is a wonderful thing to do, and I hope you try it out.
Give us a website one more time, Tina.
www.doublescoop.net. That's like a double scoop of ice cream.
There you go, doublescoop.net, all one word. It's been a very enjoyable almost hour talking to you today. Congratulations on what you've got going, and I hope you continue to be successful, and I hope you have a resounding success with it. And I think you will, because I think there's a need, because of being such a mobile society and such a widespread families and having such widespread families, that if there is any desire to keep them together, this was certainly going to help and help them communicate with one another in what seems like it's an easy way to do and a fun way to do, and keeps all those channels open, which are very important between parents, grandparents, and the grandchildren. So congratulations on what you've gotten done so far. I think it's great, and I can only look forward to seeing what happens with it as some of the new applications of the app come online.
Well, thank you so much.
And what I'm going to do is I'm going to sign us off for now. Tina, thank you very much again, and I'm going to call you directly right after the show is over. I have a couple of things I wanted to talk to you about offline, so I hope you have a minute, and it won't take very long for me to point out a couple of things that you might be interested in. And, again, thanks for being my guest today, and I really do appreciate it.
Okay.
And we've been listening to a conversation with Tina Marquez, founder of Double Scoop. And Double Scoop is at www.doublescoop.net. It is an app for grandparents and grandchildren so they can communicate with one another in pictures and in words and even voice. It can be used on any computer, laptop, or desktop, and smartphones as well. So if you have grandchildren, or if you're listening and your children have grandparents, take a look at doublescoop.net. It might be something of interest to you in keeping the communication lines open between parents, grandparents, and children. And thank you very much for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with another Boomer and the Babe show at 11 o'clock West Coast time, 2 o'clock East Coast time. Have a great day, and we'll visit again tomorrow. Take care now. You've been listening to the Boom and the Babe show, where we bring interesting conversations to the world. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, where we tweet as Boomer and Babe, and on Facebook as Pete Peters 47. As always, you can friend us on Blog Talk Radio or sign up for our newsletter at boomerandthebabe.com. Email us at host@boomerthebabe.com with any of your comments. Remember, at 50, you're just getting started.